word. John chapter 1. We'll get serious. John chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 9. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that you have given us your light. And I'm thankful for John, who was called to prepare the way for you. And I pray, Lord, as we look to this life that was lived, we will be inspired to see how we have the same call. And I ask your blessing and your anointing to be upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. That's part of our text, a witness to the light. Look with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Normally, we are reading during the Christmas season the story of Jesus, which is obvious for the reasons why we do that. But I want to draw your attention to another miracle child. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. You got to get a picture of this. Here is a priest doing his duty. It was him that was chosen by lot, which is the way they did things, and it was his group that was in charge. And this is a very public display of worship. People were there worshiping the Lord as well. Verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Now you have to remember, there has been what we call a 400-year silence. 400-year silence. In other words, God has not spoken to his people through the prophets by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for about 400 years. We have the Maccabean War that was taking place in the middle of that time period. And you could argue that the Holy Spirit was still drawing people and still doing his work. But specifically, as far as we know, nothing that was considered canonized writing was accomplished. No angel has shown up. This is big. A 400-year silence is being broken by the entrance of an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Verse 12, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. And I don't blame him. Can you imagine you're doing your thing? You're the only one there because you're the only one allowed to be there in this specific place in the temple. And suddenly there's someone there, boom, right in front of you. That would kind of freak anybody out. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." What does that say? It says he will be a joy to you, but so will many other people be joyful. This is not a private thing that's happening. This is a very public thing. By the man of God in the temple of the Lord, something big is happening right now, and everyone will rejoice for it. Verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. A child's going to be born from you and your wife, and he will be filled with the Spirit when he comes out of the womb and is born. That's incredible. That's never happened before. Never. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow. That's incredible. The angel shows up and says, hey, your son, which is a miracle birth right now because you're along in your years, you shouldn't be having children now. I'm just going to point out one couple just because. Everett, Viola, you know, could happen, right? That'd be a big deal. Like, whoa. Well, here is this amazing thing. And not only is this a miracle child, he's going to prepare the way for Messiah. That's what he's being told. Your son is preparing the hearts of the people. He fulfills the prophecy of the spirit of Elijah that we've all been talking about. He is going to be the one that will prepare the people for Messiah. Everyone expected Messiah to be there in their lifetime during this era. And now the man who will be the father of the child that will prepare the way for Messiah is being told in a very public place. Now, they don't see the angel, the people. But they're all outside waiting for the priest to come on out. Now, verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, oh, Zechariah, how can I be sure of this? Really, really, Zechariah, you're going to question the angel of God. You're going to be the one that after a 400-year silence is broken, and everybody knows this, you're going to be the one that says, how do I know for sure? Yep. He says, I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years. The angel answered him, I am Gabriel. Boom. That's big. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. It's kind of like he's saying, how dare you question me? Right? And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. That's a pretty big deal. Everybody's going, whoa, what just happened? The man can't speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. So now they're like hanging out like, whoa, this is a big deal. We better not let anybody see this just yet. I mean, this is kind of odd. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. So this is a big deal. This is a miracle. We gather around as family during the Christmas season. We remember the Word became flesh, which we should. We ought to. It's what we do. We declare once again that Jesus always was and ever shall be. We know that God became flesh. But there's a key part to the Christmas story that speaks of the conception and the birth of another miracle baby. And that's what we're talking about today. And there's a reason why we do this. We're going to remember the story of John the Baptist and show that his calling is not far from yours or mine. He had an important task of preparing the way for the Lord. And believe it or not, so do we. We have that same call. Wow. Zechariah doubts the angel. Well, let me tell you something. For having preached many, many times over the years about the call of God on every believer, that we all have the responsibility of being a witness of Jesus Christ in our world. Let me tell you, some of the people that I've talked to about this have doubted it. Can you believe that? That was sarcasm in case you didn't catch it. Who, me? That's not my call. That's not my thing. Yes, it is. You have the same responsibility to be a witness of Jesus Christ as John the Baptist had. His call was so solid, so profound, so wonderful, but so is yours. If you know Him and you believe in Him, you have the same call. Don't doubt that God can do it through you. Well, I'm too shy. So what? Get over it and do it. Right? Well, what if I don't have the right words? Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit who is with you will give you the right words to say. And sometimes the people come up with a really, really tough question, right? That's okay. You say, I don't know. I'll get back to you and do my best to find an answer to your question because I care about that. It's okay to not know all the answers right away. It's okay to have to research. And you know, like somebody would ask you, how in the world did that star move around for the wise men to follow? Honestly, for many, many years, I've had to say, I don't know. But this morning, I can tell you, I know. Because I've learned new things just in the last year. Just within this last year, I've learned something just as amazing. We talked about it in Sunday school. And now some of you know, too. And someone can say, how did this happen? And for many years, we've all said, I don't know. But it happened. I know it happened. And now we have the proof. Isn't that cool? It's okay. You don't have to have it all together. Don't doubt the call. Zechariah needed a little more convincing. And so he was stricken dumb. He could not speak until his son was born. Do not doubt the Lord and His message. I don't know what God will have to do to convince you, but He will convince you. Something will happen. I think it'd be better just to say, okay. Yes, Lord. When God says jump, you say, how high, right? The old standard saying. And except it's hard to live that way. I want to draw your attention to Luke chapter 1 now, verse 35. Jump ahead a little bit, verse 35. You have this miracle thing going on for Elizabeth, and now you have the miracle birth or the conception of Mary, and this is where the angel is speaking to her. Verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Whoa. Verse 36, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. It's pretty cool how God set this all up. You know, here you go, Mary, you're going to have a child. He will be Messiah. He's the Son of God, and it will be a miraculous thing. I know you're a virgin, but this is going to happen. And she's so great. She basically says, may it be just as you said. May it be so. And the angel, as he's encouraging her with this powerful, powerful message, he says, oh, and by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, she's pregnant. And can you imagine Mary just going, no way, right? Can you just see that? She probably didn't say it that way, but I thought it was fun. You're kidding me. You know, I got cousins that would slap you and say, no way, bam. You know, can you imagine Mary hitting the angel? Like, no way, you got to be kidding me. Really? Really, Elizabeth? The angel uses another miracle to encourage another person. And I think that's pretty neat. This birth, this conception, this child, this miracle child was another way that Mary could be encouraged in her own faith to see that another miracle is already happening. So look to verse 39 now. Mary just can't stay home now. I mean, she's going to have this child, and Elizabeth's going to have this child, and she's like, I got to go see my cousin. She can help me out. She'll explain everything to me. We can encourage each other. So verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready, hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And now look what happens. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. What was that caused by? It says here, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Boom. Big time. Wow. You have this child that's 6 months old in the tummy there. You got the big old baby bump going on. Mary shows up and she's not showing at all, but she's already conceived of the child of God. And as she comes into the proximity of this other miracle child, John the Baptist is filled with the Holy Spirit, and so is Elizabeth because John happens to be inside. She is filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because John, the baby, 6 months in the womb, not even born, is filled with the Spirit, which fulfills the very proclamation of the angel that says, even from birth, he will be filled with the Spirit of God. Wow! It's exciting to see this miraculous thing take place. If you want to see that statement back in verse 15, he will be great in the sight of God. He will never take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. And that's the moment it took place. Why? Because he came into the presence of God. That's pretty cool. God equips his servants for the task to which they are called. That's why the Spirit's there. John needed help. He needed the presence of God. He needed the indwelling presence of God. Do you realize that through all of the Old Testament, when the Spirit of God came upon a prophet, he came upon a prophet, he didn't dwell within. You can read it over and over and over. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he spoke. But here we have a prophet who will be dwelt within. The Spirit will dwell within. Guess what happens when you were born again? The Spirit dwells within. You could say that John the Baptist was the first born again believer. In many ways, that's what was happening for him. Wow. It's phenomenal. Verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 67. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. It's like, boom, all of a sudden it's happening all over the place. I mean, this is an unusual thing. And then you have Zechariah who comes into this place where they're going to name the child. And he now is filled with the Holy Spirit as he begins to praise the Lord. Why was he filled with the Spirit? Because he had something to say. And the Holy Spirit helps us fulfill the call. Zechariah's song, I would like to read it with you. It's Luke 1, verse 57. We'll start there. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. So this is a very public display. You can imagine what they were doing. Hey, guys, remember about 9 months ago when Zechariah was working in the temple and he came out and he couldn't speak? Remember that? Something happened. He saw a vision. Oh, yeah, it's been the talk of the town. It's been the talk of the whole country. Well, guess what? His wife's pregnant, and she just had a son. No way. Yeah, way. It's really going on right now. So they're all gathering around. They're rejoicing. Wow, God has blessed you with a child. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. That's what the law would require. That's normal. It's not like a legal have to, but that's just what they did. Verse 60. But his mother spoke up and said, no, his name is called John. In other words, his name is John. It's already been decided. But you see, mom don't have much say back then. The wife doesn't have a whole lot of say. She didn't have the authority to make that declaration. Verse 61. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Isn't that amazing? It is. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. This is a public thing. It's a public child. It's something that happened with a public priest. And suddenly they're going, whoa, God's doing something amazing here. What is this all about? And then Zechariah, as he's filled with the Spirit, begins to praise God verbally. And they could hear him because he's in a public place. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He's not talking about John. He's talking about Jesus. That prophecy is Messiah, Messiah, Messiah has come. He said through his holy prophets long ago, verse 70, verse 71, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. In other words, Messiah has come. Salvation is nigh. We are ready to see him come into his place. Wow, can you imagine the excitement of the people? It's no wonder that all of Judea is talking about this. It made the front page of the paper. It made the highlight of the first morning news talk shows. It's on the Today Show. It's all over CBS, right? It's all over the world, right? They're just, whoa. Now, can you imagine if they had multimedia abilities? The whole world would have been told. But it had to travel by word of mouth. But it infected the area and infected the land. God is doing something amazing. And Zechariah, with a miracle child named John, we don't know what he's all about yet, but we know something big is happening. And Zechariah, the man who saw an angel, who was stricken dumb for 9 months, has finally spoken. And what does he say? Messiah is here. It's a big deal. And then he switches and speaks of John, verse 76. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit. And he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. Wow. John would have been parallel to the most popular person you can think of today. Someone to keep an eye on. What? Have you heard about John? You know, Zechariah, Elizabeth's son? He left the home. No way, yeah. What's he doing? Well, it's kind of weird. He's living out in the wilderness right now. He dresses weird. You know, he eats honey and locusts. The guy is a freak. Yeah, I saw him just the other day. He freaked me out. I was on the road, you know, heading off to another village, and there he was sitting on a rock eating his honey and bugs. He said, yo, how's it going? Whoa, hey, John. What's up? Nah, not much. Just hanging out, talking to the Lord. I don't know what that was like. We don't have any recording of what he did during that time. All we know is that they knew he had a call. They knew he was the one to prepare the way for Messiah. They knew Messiah has already been born. They knew all this, and not because of Mary and Joseph. Because Mary and Joseph, they had a child in Bethlehem, and it was a busy, busy time, and only the shepherds who were just down the hill came up to worship him that night. And they just hung out there for a couple years, and now here's the wise men. They show up, and they give the gifts, and they hear, oh no, you better leave now, because Herod wants to kill the baby Jesus. And so they left the country, went to Egypt, and they stayed there till Herod died. And only after Herod was dead did they come home. But they didn't go back to Bethlehem, where it's possible Not likely, but it's possible somebody might have recognized him and said, hey, aren't you the family that had the big thing with the shepherds? We heard about it, but then we lost touch. Are you the family? But they didn't go back to Bethlehem. They went to Nazareth, where Mary grew up. And God fulfilled the prophecies that said he'd be born in Bethlehem, come out of Egypt, and be called a Nazarene. And nobody knew who he was until John the Baptist, who was known since birth, saw the Lord coming and said in a very loud voice, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That was the first public expression of who Jesus is. But John was followed his whole life. A lot of people don't know Jesus today. They've not met him. They've heard about him, but they don't understand. But here's the thing. They know you. You have the call of God to prepare the way for the Lord. So that when his Spirit speaks to the heart of the unsaved, they will hear. And they will bow to him and be saved. John preached repentance. And the people began to understand something new. And then came Jesus. And it's amazing when you read the account because so many of the disciples of John walked away from him and began to follow Jesus. How fickle is that, right? But no, it was meant to be. John blessed them as they left him to follow the Lord because they were seeking the best, the most, the right, the true. They were seeking the Son of God. You are called to be the one that represents Christ to our world. Romans chapter 10 tells us that the feet of those who bring the good news are beautiful feet. And that's the call you have. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, you know the call of God, where Jesus is telling his disciples, don't go yet, you're not ready. You need the power from on high. You will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. You are going to go out and share this good news, but you got to wait for something. You need my Spirit to be with you. John was born with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in his life, and he became a powerful witness of the Lord and prepared the way for the people. You are called to be a witness of Jesus Christ. And he says, be filled with my Spirit. Not so you can speak in tongues, but so you can be my witness. Should you speak in tongues? Yeah. Will you? Yeah, sure, absolutely. But if you aren't a witness, then you're missing the point. Come on. Paul said it this way, I'd rather none of you speak in tongues if you can't love each other. Right? And he says, after saying all that, I speak in tongues more than all of you. It's an important part of what God is wanting to do through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it's not the most important part. The most important part is that you are John to the world. Prepare the way for the Lord. Will you accept the call? I know some of you are seeking. God will fill your heart with all of who he is. And just to wrap it up with just a little bit of a technical teaching on what's the baptism really all about, I want to say this. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not having more of God. It really isn't. We believe that when you are born again, the Spirit of Christ dwells within you, right? How can you have only part of God? How can you have just a little bit of God? You either have him or you don't, right? But here's the switch. Here's the difference. For one who has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's not about having more of God. It's about God having more of me. That's where it lies. Are you a control freak? Do you like to do it your way? Do you like to have it just so, according to your plan? Then there's a really good chance as you're seeking God and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you won't receive because you haven't given him all of you. But the more you give of yourself, the more he can use you for his glory. And the anointing, the mantle of his anointing to be a witness will come upon you and in you and through you like you can't even explain. Because you've completely given it all to him. That's the difference. John's entire life, 3 months in the womb and everything that followed until his head was removed from his body, all of his life was about the call of God. Everything. It was all about him. And when you have that in your life, I guarantee you will have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the power to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we do this. That's why we preach this. That's why we're Pentecostal. Because we want to see the move of God reaching the people who are lost and hurting. And it happens through the people of God, which is you. Your call, prepare the way for the Lord, is the same as the call of John the Baptist. And I pray that you receive it and that you grow with it. Now, if you say, well, I haven't received the baptism yet, that's all right. You can still be a witness, right? You can still be a witness. But I want to pray that you have the power of God to go above and beyond what you ever thought was possible. Amen. Let's pray. Stand with me as we close. Lord God, thank you.